our salvation.
Yes, sir.
We are eternally grateful to God for allowing us the august privilege of being a part of His family, of His church, allowing us to utilize the wonderful privilege of prayer. Prayer is a special privilege for a special people. We can call upon God because He is our Heavenly Father, and we were thus instructed by His Son. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, who art in heaven. By virtue of Him being our Father, that automatically means that we are brothers and sisters in Him as members of His family. And certainly it is good on this occasion, as well as on all occasions, when we as the family of God are unable to assemble together and to worship God in spirit and in truth. He is a wonderful Savior to us. And it's a wonderful opportunity that we have to worship the Lord as He directs us in His Word. It is so good to see Sister Elaine Henry. She's been away for a long time. She's been in the process of healing and being restored to a good condition of health. She informs that she had planned to come this morning, but she was having some issues, and she decided she wouldn't try to come this morning, but she was committed and determined to be here this evening. And we certainly are glad to see her and that she's well on her way to healing and the restoration of her health. Good to see each of you as well. We're going to invite you now to a passage that is familiar to many of you. Some might not have been introduced to it or exposed to it before now. And then on the other hand, everybody in here might have read this passage or heard a lesson preached from this passage. But there are several lessons that we can glean or harvest from this passage. But there is one lesson on which we want to focus our attention. And we're going to use as the specific title of this lesson, a lesson from a leper. A lesson from a leper. And the cogent and penetrating question that is raised in the text by Jesus, it is the question, where are the nine? My question is for each of us, what is your gratitude quotient? To what degree do you constantly exemplify a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness or thanksgiving? Sometimes we take our blessings for granted. Sometimes we take our spiritual benefits for granted. We forget that in God we live and move and have our very being, and that He gives to all life and breath and all things. That He is the sustainer of our lives, and all things come from Him. Without Him, we could not exist. Without Him, we would be helpless. We sometimes overlook or neglect to express appreciation and gratitude for certain blessings that we take for granted, and sometimes we walk around oblivious of the blessings that we do enjoy. We rarely thank God for the air we breathe. We rarely thank God for the water we drink. We often thank Him for the food that we consume. We rarely thank Him for the proper operation and functioning of our vital organs that sustain our lives. It's stated sometimes that we don't miss our water until the well runs dry. And we don't miss our blessings of good health, good families, good relationships, good jobs, good homes, good vehicles. We don't miss those sometimes until we lose them. And then we are starkly reminded of our attitudes of ingratitude. I can say without fear of successful contradiction this evening, when I look upon the faces of each of you in this audience, that none can claim that he has not been blessed. None can claim that she has not been blessed. It causes me embarrassment to acknowledge that sometimes I exhibit and exemplify an unfortunate attitude of ingratitude. It's so easy to take things for granted, as we see when we look at the text that has been selected, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Let us read this story again. Now it happened as he, that is Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Jesus took this route sometimes. Most Jews avoided taking this route. They would go a roundabout route in order to avoid passing through Samaria. But Jesus passed through Samaria. And it's a good thing that he did, because by virtue of passing through Samaria, he was given an opportunity to be a blessing to some of the citizens in that area. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and that was in keeping with the requirements of the law. You were required to stand far off from the general population, from regular citizens, and you were instructed to cup your hand over your nose and over your mouth and cry out in loud, audible tones, "Unclean, unclean," so people would know what your circumstances were. These 10 men who were lepers, they rightly stood afar off, separated from the regular population. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Have you ever needed mercy? Have you ever pled for mercy? Have you ever sought mercy? And see, when you think about mercy, when we speak of God's mercy, we're talking about love and kindness that God grants to us that we don't deserve, but he gives it to us anyway. These lepers made a passionate plea for mercy. Grace and mercy go together. Grace is God's unwarranted, unearned, undeserved favor. God grants us favor, and he also grants us mercy. All of us can identify really with these 10 lepers who made a plea to Jesus for mercy. You might say, I ain't never had no leprosy. I've never had a very contagious, deadly, debilitating disease. Well, insofar as the physical is concerned, you might not have had a contagious disease. Of course, some do. Some have AIDS. Some have pneumonia. Some have other diseases, STDs, for instance. Gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, pelvic inflammatory disease, a number of diseases. Some have cancer that can be very debilitating, and a number of other diseases. But all of us have experienced the disease on the spiritual level akin to the disease on the physical level. The disease I'm speaking of, every bit is deadly, every bit is dangerous, every bit as destructive as leprosy was in the days of our master. What is that disease? It's sin. It's sin. Sin will destroy you. Sin will debilitate you. Sin will destroy you externally. It'll destroy you internally. And it will destroy you eternally. Devastating, dangerous, damnable disease. And we could cry out, and we have cried out in appropriate, biblically sound ways. Unclean, unclean, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus has responded to our pleas to be cleansed, our pleas to be made whole, our pleas to be healed in a similar fashion that he responded to the 10 lepers. Amen. So when he saw them, he said to them, this was the prescription that he gave, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. He granted an automatic cleansing. And one of them, 10% of them, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he was seized with a spirit of excitement and jubilation, a spirit of gratitude arrested his attention and precipitated a period of celebration. When he saw he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his feet, or fell down on his face, at the feet of Jesus. Yeah, he turned around, went back. He said, I can't go any further. I'm going to have to go back and express my gratitude. I'm going to have to go back and express my deep appreciation for this cleansing. He has changed my life. I'll never be the same again. So he fell down forward on his face, giving him thanks. He glorified God. But something grabbed Jesus' attention. He looked around and he acknowledged the fact and emphasized the fact that 10 had been cleansed. And notice he said, weren't there, were there not 10 cleansed? What probably was an expression of bafflement, he said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the others? Where are the 9? Where are the 90%? Just 1 out of 10. I don't know if we can apply that spirit exemplified by the one who came back across the general population insofar as percentage is concerned. Do you think that 90% of us show appropriate gratitude and thanksgiving? Or do you think about 10% of us show appropriate gratitude and thanksgiving? I believe the percentage is higher than 10%. I don't know if it's 100% or not. Maybe sometimes it is, but we should strive to cultivate a spirit of gratitude that would indicate that we are grateful and thankful 100% of the time. We should exhibit an ongoing attitude of gratitude. Then I think that what the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17, we should pray. Indeed, we should pray without ceasing. And also in verse 18, in everything, give thanks. No matter what your circumstances are, there's always reason to give thanks. Even if you're half dead, you can give thanks that you're half alive as well. You heard about the man who said, I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. We have so much to be thankful for. So in everything, we should give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will that we give thanks. Also, as we close, giving thanks in Ephesians 5:20, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did I hear that right? Yes. Giving thanks always for all things. Wait a minute. That means I give thanks for things that bad happen to me? That means I'll give thanks for sicknesses, car wrecks, serious illnesses, loss of job? What do you mean I can give thanks and should give thanks always for all things? That doesn't seem to make rational sense to most folk. But it makes good sense when you understand that Christians are enrolled in what I call God's providential protection plan. And you're always covered. And you know the passage to which I'm referring, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. No matter what happens to you, God, through his marvelous and powerful providence, can help it to work out for your good. As difficult and as challenging as it seems to fully wrap our minds in comprehension of this concept, it's true. You can't be defeated if you are a faithful child of God. Everything, God has a way of working it out for your good, to advance your spiritual status. I want to be like the leper who returned. I don't want to be like the nine that couldn't be found. Let us seek to demonstrate the spirit and attitude that animated that one leper who came back. Amen. Glorified God, fell on his face before the Lord, and gave thanks. Amen. Let us be a thankful people each and every day of our lives. Amen. If you are here and stand the guilty distance from Lord, but you're already a part of his family, and you want to take the proper remedial measures in order to bring your life back into alignment with his word and with his will, you can do that this evening through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you desire to be strengthened by the Lord, you can make that as a prayer request as well. We have a young man, I'm going to mention this at this point, and this is a special request for the family of a young man who was killed in Alabama. He is a family member of a friend of Tamika's. His name is Kalia Jones, 21, but he is gone. His family is traumatized by his tragic loss. And later we're going to ask you to join with us as we go to God in prayer on behalf of his family. We're losing so many of our young people in shooting incidents, drug deals gone bad, drive-by shooting. All kinds of losses. When you get up in the morning, I'm reasonably sure that when you watch the news, whether on Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 5, or any of the other channels, you're going to read about somebody else who has been killed. We have so much to be thankful for, and we have so much to be concerned about in our communities. But if you want to make a request for prayer, we're going to ask you to do that as we together stand and as we sing.
Jesus is tender.